First John chapter number 3. That comes right before Second John in your Bible. That's not St. John, that's First John toward the end before you get to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 3. And I'm going to show y'all, that's my sermon outline right there. If y'all can read that from here, I can't even read it. That don't mean it's going to be short. That's what I scribbled down. We'll see how it goes. 1 John chapter 3, are you there? It's going to be on the screen there for you. Those of you that are here, those of you that are watching at home, it should be on the screen there for you. Thank y'all for watching. Liz, we're praying for you if you're watching there in the hospital there in South Haven. And Keith at home, whoever else is watching, we're glad that you are. And let us know that you're watching. And that way we won't call and give you a test to see if you listened. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Lord, the service we've already had, experienced, and felt, the song service, and Lord, we've worshiped you with our giving. Now, God, as we come to the most important part, not because it's my part, but it's your part by speaking through the word, that's the most important part. I pray, Lord, that all of us, including me, from all the way to the back of the room, would walk out of here different than when we walked in because we've heard your word. We've not only heard it, but we are a doer of the word and doing something with what we heard and changing our hearts and our lives. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. A lot of people say, well, you know, I haven't preached on this in a long time. And so people ask, what in the world is sin? How do I know what sin is? How do I know what I should do and what I shouldn't do? Well, the Bible tells us that sin is a transgression of the law. It's breaking the law. If you were to see a speed limit sign, it says 55. If you go 56, that is a transgression of the law. The law says 55. If you go anything over, that is a transgression of the law. You say, Brother Jeremy, what is sin? Anything that is a transgression against what God has written down for you is a sin. The Bible says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is a small three-letter word. It's got one little letter in the middle, and that is our problem. Everybody has a sin problem. Now, I'm not expecting a whole lot of amens, but if you do amen, it'll help us to know that you don't have a problem. And sin, the middle word. You ever notice we was talking about Satan and the serpent? You ever notice sin is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. James 4:17 says, "For therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If you know to do right and you don't do it, it's still sin. Some people commit sins of commission. You commit a sin. Some people commit sins by not doing certain things. Sins of omission. And so there's all kinds of sin. You say, Brother Jeremy, how did I get in this situation? It was inherited to you. Your mom and dad were born sinners, and they got it from their mom and dad, and they got it from their mom and dad, and then they got it from their mom and dad. You got the picture? All the way back to Adam and Eve. I'll tell you where it first started. If you want to know where sin first started, it started in Isaiah chapter number 14. A lot of people think Eve and Adam was the first sinners. Well, there was one before that. It's found in Isaiah chapter 14. Watch this. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down, cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," this is what Lucifer said, when he was in the above the anointed cherub that covereth, he was a member of the cherubim family in heaven. He said, "I will ascend." I, notice, I, middle letter of sin, I. It's all about I, me, myself, and I. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer did not like to be second in command. He wanted to be over God. It was an I problem. It was a pride problem. It was a sin problem, and it got him kicked out of heaven. The reason we have Satan today is because he first started in heaven and because of sin got kicked out of heaven. And if you do not deal with sin in some point and shape, form in your life, you will not be able to enter into heaven. You say, Brother Jeremy, explain that. Well, I'll tell you. Adam and Eve, they were given one commandment, not ten, just one. It says, don't eat of that tree in the middle. And that tree in the middle, the day you eat thereof, it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And it was just like a kid when you tell them not to go play in the road. If you turn your back, they're going to go play in the road. If you tell a kid, don't eat off of that tree, you turn your back, they're going to go eat off of that tree. It's built in them. It's in their nature. Wet paint. Want to touch to see if it's true. Don't sit here. People, it's in their nature, a rebellious nature. If you tell people not to do, if I would ask you to do, it's rebellious inside to rebel up against that and say, no, I, it's about me. I don't like that. That hurt my feelings. It's all about me. And it's sin and him that knoweth to do good. It's sin, and doeth it not to him that is sin. I wouldn't expect a whole lot. Thank you, Tommy. Sin is like leprosy. It starts out very small, insignificant. You think something on the skin. In the Bible, sin is a picture and a type of leprosy. And boy, you start scratching a little bad place on your hand. And it begins to grow and it gets bigger and it's bigger and it's bigger. And at first, you thought it wasn't much of nothing. It wasn't going to hurt anything. You just start scratching and picking and scratching it off. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, it's done overtook your whole hand. And it's a slow process. It don't take you over your whole hand in the middle of the night. It's a slow process. Sin starts out very small, very insignificant, and it grows and it grows and it grows, and it'll take over your life. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your kids. It'll destroy your church. It'll destroy your city. It'll destroy your school. It has destroyed our government because of sin. Starts out very small. It's like cancer. Some of us, we were talking about it Wednesday night. Ladies go to the doctor, and they got 14 doctors they go to on a weekly basis. And men, they don't go until it's just a have-to case. And when a man says, hey, I need to go to the emergency room, it's already too late. And then when you go and it's untreated, and we go, and then you get to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, you're eat up with it. You should have checked in with me beforehand. I'm looking for a Pentecostal side. I don't know which one it is today. You should have checked in down here. If you don't want it to get bad and worse, you need to check in. You need to check in more often. Check in with the doctor more often. Because if you don't check in with the doctor and it grows and you say, well, it's not hurting anybody. It's just a little scratch here and it won't grow and it goes bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, one Sunday, you feel so bad, you got to get down here. And it's then overtook your whole body. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. I don't know if we got it up there, but it says, be sure your sin will find you out. You can't hide sin. You can't cover sin. That's what Adam and Eve tried to do. And God says, don't eat of that tree. They went on to eat of that tree. And then the Bible says they went and hid themselves from God. You didn't have to hide yourself. Yesterday, but today you got to hide yourself because of sin. You ever notice this? Think about this. Adults, don't raise your hand, but the first time you ever took a drink, you didn't do it at the kitchen table in front of mom and dad. Now, if you did, you don't even have a conscience. The first time you did something wrong, the first time you smoked dope, you didn't do it at church on the front porch. You went and hid. If you gotta hide and do it, Some of y'all think, man, I picked the wrong Sunday to come. Somebody said, Brother Jeremy, how do I know if it's right, if it's wrong? Should I do it? Should I text it? Now, this don't go for everything, but here's a good rule of thumb. 95% of the time, if you can't do it up here on this stage and it flash on the screen right up here in front of everybody on Sunday morning, it's probably not good for you to do. Can I say it on this side? If you're asking, Brother Jeremy, is this right? Is this wrong? Should I do? Should I? Can I? Would I? If you can do it right up here on Sunday morning. If you can do it right up here on stage in front of everybody. If that text can flash up here. If the text can flash up here and all of us read it. It's probably okay. This is the only sermon I brought. It's the only solid sermon I brought. So y'all got to sit there and take it. If it can be done up here on this stage in front of everybody, it's probably okay. But if you can't and you would be embarrassed to do right here, to him to know it, do good and do it not, to him it is what? Sin. You know what sin will do? Find that verse in Isaiah 59 in verse 2. Somebody said, Brother Jeremy, I can't get my prayers answered. I don't know why God won't hear me. It's like heaven is shut up and he won't hear me. And let me tell you why. But your iniquities, that's sin, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Did y'all read that? That's in the Bible. I didn't read that out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. That's Isaiah 59 verse 2 in the King James. And it says, but your iniquities, that's another word, transgressions, sins, iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And when you call and he will not answer, he will not answer because sin has been unconfessed. You hadn't checked up at the doctor lately. And there's sin between you and God or you and somebody else. And prayers can't get through. Prayers can't get answered because there's unconfessed sin in your life. I'm used to more amens than this. Hey, find that verse in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 25. Your iniquities, y'all remember what that is? Have turned away these things and your sin. Notice how iniquities and sins used interchangeably. How do you know that's the definition? Your iniquities, your sins, have withholding good things from you. You said, Brother Jeremy, God has not given me good things. Boy, I can't get anything good from the Lord. You got to unconfess sin you like. Can you get your prayers through? Maybe, not always. Maybe there's something else going on. But maybe you ain't heard from God, lady. Can't get a prayer through. I can't get him to answer me. You might want to get down here and check up at the doctor's office. See, if you want good things to come your way. You haven't seen those withholding good things. Maybe because you haven't checked up at the doctor lately. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The only way we'll ever see revival in this country and this world that we live in is for people to start confessing their sins, not to me. You don't have to confess your sins to me. Listen, I love our Catholic friends, but you can confess your sins through a knothole to a guy that wears a dress. They call him Father. He ain't even married. You can do that all day long, and it ain't going to help you one bit of good. He can't forgive your sins. There ain't but one that can forgive your sins, and that's God Almighty, the High Priest of Heaven. So you confess your sins. You don't confess them to me. You confess them to God Almighty. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me give you just a few things. You say, what does sin do? Okay, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I've been saved since I was 10 years old. And, one fellow told me, he said, Preacher, I've been saved. I've been saved since I've been saved. I hadn't sinned one time since I've been saved. I said, you just did. He said, what sin did I said, you just lied. Everybody Now listen to me. Everybody is a sinner and going to commit sins. But I don't think we have to commit as many as we do. Sometimes we blame it on the devil. Well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do it. You made your own choice. Don't blame that on the devil. Because when the devil's trying to get you to do this, God's trying to get you to do right. And so it's not always, well, that was the devil's fault. The devil made me do it. Don't blame it on that. Blame it on you. God, I am sorry. It was me. It ain't, no, I can't blame this on my neighbor. I can't blame it on my family. I can't blame it on my kids. I can't blame it on nobody. I can't blame it on the preacher. I can't blame it on my church. This is me, and I done it. I confess it's my fault. I deserve my punishment. Lord, would you please forgive me? If we had more of that, ladies and gentlemen, we'd see revival in this country. But this country we live in today is blaming on somebody else. Blaming on somebody else. Eve blamed it on Adam. Adam, he's the serpent. No, Eve blamed it on the serpent. Said, hey, he's the one. She's the one that gave it to me. Adam says, hey, Lord, is that woman you gave me? It's her fault. She's the one that gave me the apple. God looks at Eve. She goes, what's the problem? The serpent's the one that gave me that. Everybody's passing it on. That's where we get passing the buck. When are we ever going to just say, Lord, it ain't nobody's fault. It ain't my husband's fault. It ain't my wife's fault. It's me, oh Lord, that stands in the need of prayer. I confess my sin. I ain't worried about my neighbor's sin. I'm confessing me. Me, oh Lord. It's me and you. And I want to be right with him. Somebody said, well, Brother Jerry, you shouldn't be judging people. Where is that in the Bible? This is what gets me. Judge not, lest you be judged. My first question is, where's that at? And if you don't know where it's at, shut up. Especially if you can't quote the rest of it. If you're only going to quote half a verse and you don't know the rest of it and what the verse means, there ain't no kids. Is there kids in here? I'll just do it this way. Hush. Because you don't know what you're talking about. We have to judge every day. Every time you come up on a red light, you better know how to judge. Everybody go to the grocery store, you better know how to judge. Every time you pick bananas, you better know the difference in the green ones and the ripe ones. Or you'll be getting your exercise going back and forth to the bathroom. You better know how to judge. Every man in here was very judgmental when they picked their wife. I hope you was. There ain't a man in here that says, well, I know she's ugly, but I'm trying not to judge. I'm going to marry her anyway. Bible says we ain't supposed to judge. I know she's ugly. Every time she cries, her tears go down her back. She's ugly, but I'm going to marry her anyway because we ain't supposed to judge. Yes, you. Bible says judge righteous judgment. Judge rightly. Let me explain to you this way. Go to the courtroom. There's a judge. God Almighty sitting on the bench. Judge. And he's, boy, I'm telling you what, and he goes by in Tennessee. It's called the Tennessee Code Annotated, the TCA Code. And if you get whatever the law is, he thumbs through there. And he said, okay, the law in Tennessee is this right here. He judges you out of a book. He judges you out of a book. And then you got 12 jurors over there that's listening to the evidence. So you got God Almighty, he's judging you out of book. You got 12 jurors over there. And you say, Brother Jeremy, what are you doing? Well, God Almighty is the judge. And he's judging you out of a book. And then I'm over there, you over there in the jury box, listening to all the evidence. Is there enough evidence to prove you're a Christian? If you're watching on the internet, there ain't but three people in here I'm preaching to by myself. It's an empty building. Is there enough evidence? There won't be no songbook throwing today, will it? Hallelujah. Is there enough evidence to prove you're a Christian? Now let me give you just a few things real quick. What happens to me when I sin as a Christian? I'm going to tell you, God gives you 4 steps. I'm going to give them to you real quick. The first one is 1 Corinthians 11:31. Y'all ready? Let me give it to you real quick. Verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread." They're talking about the Lord's Supper. "And drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not concerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Y'all see that? If you don't want to be judged when you get to heaven for that sin, you need to judge yourself down here. Number one, God is going to allow you enough space to judge yourself. God, I'm wrong. Not saying, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I got caught." Mm-mm. You take the initiative and say, "Oh, I did wrong." Before you even bring it up, I'm fixing to bring it up to you. I'm judging myself. If we judge ourselves, we should not be just. Y'all see that? God gives you a space. He'll let you see if you'll judge yourself. See if there's enough conviction. I remember the story given to me about a dog barking. And that people got a dog and the dog barks all night. And the man always hollers out the window, "Hush! Quit barking! Hush!" Sometimes, as a saved person, the Holy Spirit on the inside, sometimes when we sin, we sin again. You're like, you raise the window. "Hush! Quit! Stop! Stop barking! You're bothering me." Boy, we're going to sell the fire out of these CDs. "Hush! Quit! Stop!" Finally, that dog quit barking, and you just live on. If we would judge ourselves, God says, "I'm going to give you a chance to judge yourself. See if you judge yourself, so you won't be judged." All right, number two, if you won't do that, then Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 takes place. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren," that's saved people, "if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," notice, not ye which are sinless, "ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So, if you won't judge yourself, in a little space of time, God says, "All right, I'm going to send somebody else to maybe put their arm around and say, 'Hey, you think you ought to be doing that? You think that's a good idea?'" You know, I'm not trying to run your life. I'm just telling you what that Bible says. And I love you. I love your life. I love your family. I love your kids. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm just watching out for you. And I'm telling you, you may want to rethink that according to the Bible, because that may not be a good idea for you. So God says, "All right, I'm going to let you do it yourself if you will. If you won't, then he's going to send somebody else to come along. If a man be overtaken in fault, let him that's your spiritual restore such a one." Hey, you ought to think about that. Somebody at work. "Hey, I know we ain't been reading our Bible at the break table here lately. We ain't been praying like we used to. Hey, is there something going on in your life? Hey, can I pray with you about something? Is there something going? Ye which are spiritual, try to restore." So God's going to say, "All right, I'm going to let you try to do it yourself. Try to let you do it yourself. If you won't, I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to send a preacher. I'm going to send whoever." I remember a woman was telling me about her husband. Her husband was a drunk. And boy, he just, you know, this, that, and the other. And whooped up on her, beat her on her. And she was a saved Christian woman, went to church. And he wouldn't go. And boy, she would pray. She said, "God, please save my husband. Please save my husband." The preacher would come by. And he would take off to the back room and hide in the bedroom and say, "You tell that preacher I ain't here." And boy, she'd have to lie and say, "No, preacher, he ain't here today." And boy, she kept praying, "Save my husband. Save my husband. Lord, do what you got to do to save my husband." That man got in a bad car wreck and was out drinking, got in a bad car wreck, laid up, done broke his hip, done broke his shoulder. He's laid up in a bed, can't move. Guess who walks in the hospital room? The preacher. Can't hide. God answered that woman's prayer and put him in a place to where he couldn't go nowhere and had to listen. "Ye which are spiritual, try to restore such a one." Hey, God's going to let you try to do it yourself. If you won't, you're hard-headed. Some of us are. Some of us are. And then he's going to send somebody else to buy and say, "Hey, you ought to think about this. Hey, let me talk to you about the Lord. If that don't work, then step 3 takes place and you might not like it. And that's in Hebrews 12. Oh, do I know Hebrews 12? Hebrews 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he. Y'all know what that means? And scourgeth every. Now let me let you in a little secret. God don't believe in timeouts. He believes in whoopings. So I don't believe in whooping my kid. We can tell. I don't believe in whooping my kid. I know. We can tell. You ain't got to tell us. We know you don't believe it. But God does believe it. And you better be glad he believes in it. Because when I got a whooping from the Lord, I knew for whom the Lord, what? Loveth. God don't whoop the devil's kids. He whoops his kids. The devil does his own with his own kids, but the Lord loves his kids. And Daddy always sent me, I'm telling y'all, Linda, y'all don't even look at Linda because she'll roll her eyes. And if Jamie was here, he'd be rolling his eyes too. And if Diane was here, she'd be rolling her eyes too. And they don't believe it, but they wasn't on my back end when I was getting the whoopings. And they don't think I got any, but tell my rear end that because I remember them. We'd sit on the edge of the bed. He'd read, whom the Lord loveth, he chases, scourges every son that he received. And boy, son, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't do this. But I love you and I've got to correct you so you'll do right. You wouldn't correct yourself. You wouldn't admit. Somebody else come along, tried to correct you. You wouldn't correct. So I'm going to have to take the belt. Because I love you, I don't want you to go astray. I don't want you going over the cliff. I don't want you jumping off the rail. I want you to do right. I want you to straighten up. So here's the Board of Education on their seat of learning. So you'll straighten up and straighten out. And Dad would always say, y'all remember? He'd always say, now this is going to hurt me worse. It's going to hurt you. And when I had boys, he said, now when you get kids of your own, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And son, my boy, I love whooping him, man. I whoop him just for anything, you know. Now, girls are different. I couldn't hardly whoop Kayla. But them boys, I look for a excuse to whoop them, you know. It still didn't help. I did them the same way. I set them down. I said, hey, and at the church we was at, I got to tell this. I know it's 11:30 if anybody's doing a time check. But is it Atwood over there? And Dalton will tell you this. He'll raise his hand and say it's true. I never would whoop them at the house in front of all everybody. We'd go over to we lived in the parsonage right beside the church. And we'd go in that side door, and that side door came right up. I mean, it's like the side door is right here by the altar. I'd bring them in, son. I'd whoop them in the church. In empty black, I mean, dark church. No lights on at all. And whoop them in the church. And Dalton said, that's the reason I never went down to the altar, because every time I go down there, something bad happens. I wonder why he never would come to the altar. He said, Daddy, that's why I can't come down there. That's where it all happened right there. I can't come down there. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth. I said all that to be funny, just to get your attention, keep your attention. But I'm telling you this, I've been through some of that whoopings. And if you've been through some whoopings, the Lord loves his own kids. And he whoops them, those that he loves. I remember so many. I could tell y'all story after story after story. I don't have time, but I tell you, I told y'all this one. Diane Moore, she's still the county clerk. My mom still lives on Downing, and Diane Moore lives on Cecil, right behind our house where I grew up. And they just put in a swimming pool. It's above ground. But it's an above-ground swimming pool. If Diane Moore hears this, she'll laugh herself silly. Me and another boy in the neighborhood, Diane Moore and them wasn't home. And we jumped the fence. We wasn't supposed to go swimming. When they wasn't home, we jumped the fence. We jumped over into they take the ladder out so you couldn't get in the ladder. So we had to jump over in that aluminum pool, and we dented the side of it. We jumped in, and everything. And this is back when I had hair. We swam, you know. Daddy was looking for us. He's driving down Cecil. He's driving down. And here, me and that boy, his name was Joe, and we was coming up, and my hair was sticking straight up because we just got wet. And dripping wet. And he said, y'all been in that pool? Uh-uh. What pool? I'm telling you, listen, I ain't never. I thought I was going to call the child abuse hotline that day. He almost killed me. And almost whooped the neighbor's kid. But you know what he made me do? Seriously. After I got the whooping, he said, hey, you need to go make it right. I'd rather took another whooping than go to Diane Moore's house, knock on the door after she got home and said, hey, I'm the one that dented your pole. I said, Daddy, whoop me again. Whoop me again. I don't want to go make it right. The worst. I mean, I remember knocking on that door and I'm like, oh, please don't be home. Please don't be home. She come to the door. I said, Miss Diane, me and Joe jumped in your pool. And when you wasn't home, she said, I wonder who dented our pool up. We just put that in. Had to pay for that. There's consequences. The wages of sin. Wages of sin. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something very serious. If you judge yourself, you should not be judged. God's going to let you try to do it yourself. Just admit it. Just come clean. Admit it. If not, he's going to send somebody, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Put somebody, put his arm around and say, hey, is anything going on? Can I pray with you? When's the last time you read your Bible? Which time? Are you close to the Lord still? What's going on? And if that don't work, then the Lord's going to come set you in. Touch you down and say, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth. And you may not like that one too good. Because sometimes them whoopings hurt. It ain't a whooping with a belt. It's a whooping right here. And boy, he knows where to get us. To get our attention. And can I say this? God loves you enough to try to get your attention. Before it's too late. If the whooping don't work and you're still hard-headed, I'm fixing to give you this last one, and it's a doozy. 1 Corinthians 5:5. This fella in this church, in the Corinthian church, you'll have to read it, but I'm telling you, he was doing some stuff in this church he shouldn't have been doing. Paul said to deliver such a one unto for the destruction of the what? That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. To keep you, if you're going to be that hard-headed and stay in sin and be a Christian, to keep you from destroying other people and becoming a stumbling block to other people, God will deliver you over to Satan just like he did Job for the destruction of the flesh, but you can't touch his spirit because his spirit is saved. Stayed in the day of the Lord Jesus, but you can touch his flesh. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to be in the hands of Satan. I wasn't expecting this sermon to be this the great, massive, going to fill every seat. But everything I told you is true. Sin's my problem. Sin's your problem. Sin's all of our problems. And the problem is check up with the doctor regularly. Are we going to sin? Yes. Am I going to have a look? Yes. It's going to show up. But the key is get it. Get the medicine when it's small. Don't let your hand be gone and say, oh, Lord, I need some help. You should have got to help when it was just a little bitty old scratch before it got infected. Spread to your whole body. Get down here. Get it right. If not, he's going to send the preacher by, Sunday school teacher, friend, family, somebody. Put their arm around you and say, hey, if you're still hard-headed, he's going to put the Board of Education on the seat of learning, try to get your attention. If that don't work, he'll say, all right, I'm fixing to take you to heaven early. Satan, you can touch his body, but you can't have his soul. His soul's mine. Amen. I've already tried to whoop him. Satan, you can have his body. Did y'all see that? That's in the Bible. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. You see how quiet is in it right now? Because I got the right sermon. To deliver such a one unto who? For the destruction of the what? The body. Flesh. Now why would God do that? That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Keep you from being a stumbling block to somebody else. To keep you from sending somebody else to hell. You know how many lost people I've talked to, Sammy's coming to me. You know how many lost people I've talked about or talked to, and hey, won't you get saved? Well, so-and-so's a Christian, and they do the same thing I do. Why do I need to be a... Why do I need to get saved? I run around with so-and-so. They go to the same places I go to. They drink the same stuff I drink. They smoke the same stuff I do. The only thing difference is they go to church and I stay at home, watch football. Is there enough evidence to prove you're saved? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, we don't like the devil. We don't like sin. We don't like what he does. We don't like his destruction, what he does to people. And God, I pray, I don't know what step. I know you're long-suffering to us. We're not willing any should perish, but all should come repent. I don't know which step people are on. I don't know if they're on one, two.